The Life of John Eliot, dated 1691. Preliminaries number 2. Mr. Eliot's early conversion, sacred enjoyment, and just removal into America. But all I have hitherto said is no more than an entrance into the history of our Eliot. Such an Enoch as he must have something more than these things recorded of him. His walk with God must be more largely laid before the world as a thing that would bespeak us all to be followers no less than we shall be admirers of it. He had not passed many turns in the world before he knew the meaning of a saving turn from the vanities of the unregenerate state unto God in Christ by a true repentancy. He had the singular happiness and privilege of an early conversion from the ways which original sin disposes all men unto. One of the principal instruments which the God of heaven used in tinging and filling the mind of this chosen vessel with good principles was that venerable Thomas Hooker, whose name in the churches of the Lord Jesus is as an ointment poured forth. Even that Hooker, who, having angled many scores of souls into the kingdom of heaven, at last laid his bones in our New England, it was an acquaintance with him that contributed more than a little to the accomplishment of our Eliot for that work unto which the Most High designed him. Footnote from the reader. Thomas Hooker was the person who started the colony of Connecticut, leaving Massachusetts. He was a prominent proponent of the doctrine of pre-preparationism that taught that by making the use of the means of grace, a person seeking conversion might dispose himself towards receiving God's grace. He believed that much of God's favor needed to be re-earned by men. To Hooker, sin was the most crafty of enemies, defeating grace on most occasions. He disagreed with many of the predecessors' theology of free grace theology, preferring a more muted view on the subject. He focused on preparation for heaven and following the moralistic code. Thomas Hooker lived from 1586 to 1647. End of the footnote from the reader. His liberal education, having now the addition of religion to direct it and improve it, it gave such a bias to his young soul as quickly discovered itself in very signal instances. His first appearance in the world after his education in the university was in the too difficult and unthankful but very necessary employment of a schoolmaster, which employment he discharged with a good fidelity. And as this first essay of his improvement was no more disgrace unto him than it was unto the famous H-I-E-R-O-N, Whittaker, Vines, and others that would thus begin to be serviceable, so it rather prepared him for the further service which his mind was now set upon. He was of worthy Mr. Thomas Wilson's mind that the calling of a minister was the only one wherein a man might be more serviceable to the church of God than in that of a church master, and that Melchior, that's M-E-L-C-H-I-O-R, Adam, he reckoned the calling of the schoolmaster P-U-L-V-E-R-U-L-E-N-T-A-M. Wherefore, having dedicated himself unto God betimes, he could reconcile himself to any lesser way of serving his Creator and Redeemer than the sacred ministry of the gospel. But alas, where should he have opportunities for the exercising of it? The Laudans, Gratians, and Arminian faction of the Church of England, and the prosecution of their grand plot for the reducing of England into a moderate sort of popery, had pitched upon this as one of their methods for it, namely, to creep as fast as they could all the learned, godly, painful ministers of the nation, and invent certain S-H-I-B-B-O-L-E-T-H-S for the detecting and destroying of such men as were cordial friends to the Reformation. 'Twas now a time when there were every day multiplied and imposed those unwarrantable ceremonies in the worship of God, by the which the conscience of our considerate Eliot counted the second commandment notoriously violated. It was now also a time when some hundreds of those good people, which had the nickname of Puritans put upon them, transported themselves, with their whole families and interests, into the deserts of America, that they might here peaceably erect congregational churches, and therein attend and maintain all the pure institutions of the Lord Jesus Christ, having the encouragement of royal charters, that they should never have any interruption in the enjoyment of those precious and pleasant things. Here was a prospect which quickly determined the devout soul of our young Eliot unto a removal into New England, while it was yet a land not sown. He quickly listed himself among those vigilant soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ who cheerfully encountered first the perils of the Atlantic Ocean, and then the fatigues of the New England wilderness, that they might have an undisturbed communion with him in his appointments here. And thus did he betimes procure himself the consolation of having afterwards and forever a room in the remembrance of God. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, and the love of thy espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. On his first arrival in New England, he soon joined himself unto the Church of Boston. 'Twas church work that was his errand hither. Mr. Wilson, the pastor of the church, was gone back into England, that he might perfect the settlement of his affairs, and in his absence, young Mr. Eliot was he that supplied his place. Upon the return of Mr. Wilson, the church was intending to have made Mr. Eliot his colleague and their teacher, but it was diverted. Mr. Eliot had engaged upon a select number of his pious and Christian friends in England, that if he should come into these parts before he should be in the pastoral care of any of the people, he would give himself to them and be for their service. It happened that these friends transported themselves hither the year after him, and chose their habitations at the town which they call Roxbury. A church being now gathered at this place, he was in a little while ordained unto the teaching and ruling of that holy society. So 'twas in the orb of that church that he had had as a star fixed for very near 80 years. It only remains that we now observe what was his magnitude all this while, and how he performed his revolution. And a preliminary number 2, haven't been read, by Peter John Parisis.